Hello, and welcome to Real People, Real Stories, a regular podcast where we examine what drives the people who drive Baker Tilly. My name is Anjula Satiri. I am the Global Director of People and your host for this series, and I'm excited to introduce you to some of the individuals that drive our culture and define what it means to be Baker Tilly. At Baker Tilly, we believe great futures are built on great relationships and are strengthened through great conversations. In each episode of this podcast, we bring you thoughtful and thought-provoking discussions with our experts across various fields, with the goal of bringing us closer together. Today, we'll be speaking with Ben Lloyd, the newly appointed CEO at Baker Tilly Canada, about borderless working. Living abroad can open up a world of career opportunities as you gain access to new industries and global networks. Let's be honest, who hasn't contemplated a move to live and work in the Bahamas in the midst of a cold, damp winter? A recent study has found that 88% of HR professionals have said that businesses are considering mobility as strategy to address global talent shortages. Coupled with employees seeking better work-life balance, this has created an opportunity for employers to reinvent their talent programs. Ben is a person to whom borders mean very little. From the sun-kissed beaches of Australia to the bustling streets of the UK and now to the vast landscapes of Canada, his career has been nothing short of global. I'll be speaking with Ben about his own borderless working experiences and the influences that shaped his outlooks. And we'll look at how borderless working is evolving within the Baker Tilly network. Thanks for tuning in, and let's get started. Ben, welcome to Baker Tilly's podcast.
Thank you, Andrew. It's great to be here. Really looking forward to talking a bit more about some of my experiences. So let's get into it.
Yeah, really excited. Look, I'm going to do away with some of the formalities because we know each other really well. Obviously, one of your pit stops in your career was Baker Tilly International, what we call Global Office. And you had the joy of managing me for a period of time as well. One of the things I didn't know about you until I started doing some research for this podcast was that you actually have a degree in ancient history, which is far more exciting than my accounting and finance degree, that's for sure. Tell me a bit about this and then your subsequent journey to CEO at Baker Tilly Canada.
Yes, look, I did when I was at school certainly have a strong interest in history, both modern and ancient. I studied that through to my final sort of year 12 in Australia. I sat my examinations around that, but ancient history was something that I've just been fascinated with for many, many years. And so I had a major in ancient history. I'd done a Bachelor of Arts, so there was a major of ancient history, and that was Rome and Greece. From that, I sort of really wanted to explore the world. My parents, I think I was sort of kissed with their travel wanderlust. And really followed in their footsteps. As soon as I was able to, I took a gap year into Canada. I played rugby over here. And really, that was my first introduction to Canada, and I loved it. I spent a year here, traveled around, hitchhiked, probably things that my mother didn't really know. And at the time, told later on, she was horrified. But certainly had a great time, and then back to do postgraduate, you know, university and all that sort of thing. So, you know, I studied Master of International Business, my postgraduate, and, you know, from those times, it was really around, I knew what I wanted to do. I didn't want to do an MBA because I thought MBAs were a dime a dozen at the time, and it really focused on one particular area. And at the time, this is back in the sort of the 90s, I was looking at, well, in life, when you look at any basic transaction, business transaction, there is a touch point that is international. And so I was looking to differentiate myself from that. And so went through that program, managed hotels for a while, so in the pub game, which was an interesting place, over the Sydney Olympics and all that sort of stuff in 2000, which was pretty wild. I won't lie. And then from there, sort of joined PwC, then IBM, and then Pitcher Partners in 2003. And that was really where things sort of started accelerating for myself, particularly looking after the national side of things with Australia, and then getting exposed to Baker Tilly. And then from 2010, joined Baker Tilly International as Asia Pacific Regional Director, which was fantastic, sort of a pioneering type role, which I loved. Then moved to London in 2016 for the Global COO role, Chief Operating Officer role. And then here I am here as CEO for Baker Tilly Canada, which is now just over 3.5 months into my role. So it's one big learning curve, Andrula, as you know, and certainly had the pleasure of working with, you know, great people like yourself.
What is the motivation? What is the thrill that you get that, you know, means that you move from one place to another? What is it about that?
I love learning and appreciating cultures. I mean, you know, a major part of the Master of International Business was around culture. International business is predicated on understanding culture. And, you know, it's remarkable. A lot of people say to me, you know, everything I've done, how many languages do you speak? And, you know, I often come back with a witty response like, well, two, English and bad English. But, you know, that's about all Australian English. But, no, I don't, you know, I've tried, I used to speak Afrikaans in South Africa and that, which was, you know, not a very well-known language. But at the end of the day, it was more around the cultural side of things and understanding the etiquettes, understanding the food, understanding the cuisine, understanding how people live their lives. And I just love that. I love putting myself into situations where I'm not in my comfort zone. And I do like that. I do like learning, but through experiential learning and being there.
Thinking more generally, what is the value that having that global outlook has brought to each of your major roles that you've done?
Well, certainly in my role at Pitcher Partners, there was a lot of international business coming into and out of, obviously, Australia, particularly with Asia. And so for me, there was a logical step to take to become, you know, I was very attracted to that opportunity. I want to, you know, there's some people, you know, that I'd really like to think about that. I won't go through them now, but they really helped and pushed me in that direction. And I learned so much from a couple of people who are still in the network in Asia about, I made so many mistakes. And that's one of the things that people, I think, really should realize is it's okay to make mistakes. You do. It's complex. Cultural dimensions and culture, it's complex. It's like an onion with layers and layers and layers. And there are some very complex cultures out there which, you know, the more you think you understand, the less you actually understand type thing. And so it's all right to make those mistakes, but you've got to go in and adapt and take on board what you hear and use it for future. And so I made plenty of mistakes in Asia Pacific. And what that allowed me to do is not make those same mistakes when I took the global role. So moving from sort of 24 countries in Asia Pacific, as we have at the time, to sort of 148 countries. And not only are you dealing with the, you know, the cultural dimensions within Asia Pacific, then you've got European differences, North American differences, Latin American differences. And differences are great because it just really provides opportunity, obviously, to learn, but there's an excitement too. And certainly moving from Asia, where you'll have it's a close bond around the personal side of things, getting to know you. They want to know who you are. They want to know what you're about. They're okay to open up a bit more about your private versus public, versus perhaps maybe in other cultures where that's probably a bit more guarded and you won't necessarily open up too much about your private, you know, your family life, what you do outside of work, etc. That's not really given. And so you've got to adapt. And each time you have a situation that you come across, you learn and you've got to bank it. You've got to bank it and you've got to store up this repository of of data, of information that helps you make better decisions and better discussions with different cultures as you go forward.
There's obviously other people involved when you decide to make these moves, right? You have a family, you have a wife, you have kids. You shared that joining Baker Tilly International in London was a logical step for your career. But of course, it also meant relocating your family halfway across the world. Can you tell me a little bit about what that meant at the time and how your family received this?
I think it was really a decision that I felt was the logical step for me. And at the time, I won't lie and I'll be honest, I think it was probably a more of a selfish move in many respects. I thought this is brilliant, this is perfect. And I felt it was a logical step. Now, my wife, she's probably the true hero here in terms of that regard, because she went along with it. It wasn't her first choice. She had strong roots to friends, family, et cetera, in Melbourne, Australia. And here I come in and say, hey, we've got an opportunity to move to the other side of the world, to London. She had never lived overseas before, nor had the kids, of course, and uprooting them and moving. So that was tough. There's no doubt about it. I think you can have a plan for all of that sort of thing. And it wasn't as if we were moving to a country where there was a different language straight off the bat. Like, you have to really get up to grips, not only with where do you buy milk and bread or the basics, how do I get public transport, how do I do this, you've got to actually learn the language. And so moving to London wasn't necessarily that big a step when you think, but there is some big changes. And so for me, that was hard. I had to really sell it. And, I think then the move to Canada from London was easier, because the first thing I said is that this, we've got an opportunity here. What do you think? And she was really in the driver's seat. And that was important, that we both wanted to do this. And here we are. So I think it is a challenge. I think there are times that people have to think about it, that if they think about what they may want to do, with their partners, if they've got kids, et cetera, there's a lot to think about. But I always came back to the opportunities in terms of around life education, certainly for the children and the experiences that they're getting at the moment.
What were the biggest lessons out of that? Like, if someone's in a similar position to you, they've got a family, they've got kids, and you've just described a whole set of logistical challenges in doing this, what advice would you give?
Well, I think you've got to start with a plan, but you've also got to start with the knowledge that kind of everyone has a plan until you get punched in the mouth, as Mike Tyson used to say. So, I think you've got to be prepared to adapt and, roll with it. There are going to be setbacks. No matter what, you're going to have a few setbacks, and you've just got to be mentally geared up to deal with that. I think you have to accept that in any move, there are cultural differences. Even though you move, say, from Australia to the UK, you want to go somewhere else. It sounds pretty easy. You can slide in and get to grips with things, but there are always little things that are just different to what you're used to, different routine, different types of, the milk tastes a bit different, or the butter is a bit heavier, or whatever it may be. But it's those little things, the 1%ers, that add up. And I think you've got to be prepared to know that you can get through that. It's not a really big deal when you think about it, but it's those things that really set you off. The other thing I would say is that make sure, I know if you are making the decision to go over or through work or opportunity or whatever, maybe make sure you do talk it through with your respective spouses or partners. The kids are remarkably adaptable. They do bounce around. They make friends easier than perhaps, adults. But when you do that, get into the school, get to meet the parents, get the school to help with introducing to buddy parents and families and things like that, which is now quite common. I think with our moves and what we've done, it's remarkable. But there's no doubt everyone will go through their own, you know, battle their own demons to get on top of what this means. But it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it.
No regrets then.
No, none whatsoever.
How much does this experience translate to the way you look at your team? So you're obviously coming from a role within the global network. You're aware of the secondment opportunities, the opportunities to work internationally. Do you now look at your Canadian team and see them as global workers who can move into that network and out of that network?
Yeah, it is. It's a great question. I look at, and we've got a great team here in Canada. We've got a fantastic, we're adding a few more, I think, to help really bolster out what we're looking to do. And obviously that is to pursue a strategy and execute a strategy for us here in Canada, which is aligned to the global strategy. I think it, you know, my comments and how we've got together and we've talked things through and my experience, I don't ever want to necessarily push what my it may not mean much to them. But what I like to do, and I continue to do, and they perhaps get sick of it, but I like to just remind them about the opportunities that the network brings. This network, I mean, as I mentioned before, I came from PwC, and I remember at PwC, they promoted the fact that you can work anywhere in the world, you know, these sexy places, New York and Paris and London and all these places. And the reality of the matter is you had to, at that time, certainly back in the, the late 90s, early 2000, you had to organize it yourself. And you had to have a business case. It wasn't seamless. Coming into Baker Tilly, the secondment program was mind-blowing because it was proactive. It was really saying, these are the opportunities, and they're real opportunities to go and live and work somewhere else on a secondment. My message to my team and teams all over the world is really look at that. Talk to your partners. Talk to your HR people. Talk to the people that can get you connected and find out more about what it represents, because it is really, really worth it, I think. It's a huge opportunity.
Looking at borderless working from the perspective of recruiting, what's your take on successfully attracting employees from across international borders and broadening the talent pool and also diversity within the talent pool as well?
Yeah, I think most countries now around the world, and this is a fairly large generalization, I appreciate that, but most countries are struggling with this talent war, this talent, managing talent, attracting talent, retaining talent, those types of things. And, whether that will balance itself out, whether that will continue, I think one thing you would say that companies are looking for talented people, quality people. And I think you want to have the best ability to attract those people to what you represent, the brand and what it represents, the experience that people have working within Baker Tilly. And so if you're looking at moving, around the world and that borderless experience, that's getting, yes, there's complications, whether it's tax or otherwise, but that's getting more and more just part of the norm, if I can say it that way. And so certainly here in Canada and just more broadly, I think capacity is an issue. Capacity is an issue. So you've got to look at strategies to help you deal with that capacity. And it's not just capacity, it's about capability as well. And so you need to be able to find capable and people with experience on the types of work that you are pursuing in terms of the firms, the regions that the global network is pursuing, the types of clients that we're looking to attract. And so you need to find those people. And the way to do that is, or one of the ways I should say to do that is around moving people around, but also tapping into talent. And they may not be in the country that you are currently servicing that client in, but they are accessible. And that's the beauty of, I think the world that we live in now in terms of the digital transformation, the technology usage, the pandemic, but it forced us to do things. And it was a horrible time for the world, absolutely. And we're still still grappling with that. But it forced us to change. It forced us to do things in 5 months that may have taken us 5 years. And so we've got to reflect on that, all of us, and say, you know, it's made us better, more hopefully resilient, adaptable, but looking at opportunities to be able to move and access talent around the world, regardless of where they may be.
Oh, this has been such a great conversation, Ben. I've got one more question, I think is a really obvious question that has to be asked as well. You're possibly, I'm making an assumption here, but surrounded by more Canadian people, and you're the Aussie in Canada. How do you go about building culture within your team with people either from different countries or you going into a country that's maybe a bit unknown for you as well? How do you build culture?
Well, it's a good question. I think straight off the bat, you've got to be who you are. You can't be someone else. And building culture takes time. It's not an overnight sort of pull out of the box sort of kit that you can just plug and play. I think it takes time. And the other thing I would say is that it's really important to recognize that, certainly here in Canada, from my experience, we've got a great culture. There is a great culture existing. It's not just the Canadian culture, it's the Baker Tilly in Canada culture. And so we've got a great culture there. There's no, if you've got a great culture, yeah, there's going to be things that I think we should tweak or look at change. And I'll work around how, you know, talking to the team and what this means to me, what this means to them. But it's about listening, giving, taking, and slowly over time changing. I certainly feel, you know, that was something that I did for when I came over from Australia to London, changed the culture in the global office there. And I now, you know, look back at with pride as to what the team is doing now in global office. I think it's fantastic. And I'm, you know, I think it's maybe not to that level here in Canada, but I'm really, really looking forward to try and bring out a culture where there is, a, you know, trust. There's a culture of, you know, mistakes are fine. Let's learn from them. Let's, you know, we don't want to be judged for doing nothing. Let's do something. You know, a culture of open door. Let's talk about it. You've got an issue. Let's talk about it. Culture takes time. It's a really delicate balance because it's hard to build and maybe easy to lose. But I think, you know, that's what's exciting about this whole journey as well, I think, for me.
Brilliant. There's a lot of lessons in there, certainly, for leaders in that nice little summary at the end. It's a great note to finish on. Thank you so much, Ben, for speaking to us today.
No problems. It's been fantastic. Thanks, Adrula.
A big thank you to today's guest, Ben Lloyd, and thank you listeners for joining me on Real People, Real Stories. Don't forget, if you would like to keep updated with our episodes, please subscribe. And if you enjoyed this podcast, we would love it if you could rate us and review us. For more discussions around this topic or other content from Baker Tilly, we'll continue the conversation on our social media platforms at LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook. I am Andrula Sotiri, and you've been listening to Real People, Real Stories, a podcast from Baker Tilly International.